Well, on Wednesday, we heard from everybody involved in the Amari Cooper trade to the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, and Amari Cooper. We're going to get into all of that, and it's always game day in Buffalo. Welcome in Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. And Matt, we're going to waste no time because the Titans are on the schedule next. It's a Sunday 1 p.m. game. How about that?
Yes.
Here in Buffalo. Our guy, Teron Davenport of ESPN, is going to join us right now here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Teron, it's Sal and Matt. Thanks a lot for coming aboard with us today.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you having me.
All right, Teron, I'm going to start with the quarterback, Will Levis, who reminds me a lot of early Josh Allen, right? With, man, this guy's got some big wild plays. He's got this amazing arm. But holy cow, he does some things that make you go, what are you doing, young man?
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural comparison, the big arm and the well-built presentation that they bring to the field. It's just, I think Josh Allen, it was really unique just as far as like how he was able to progress. And that's something that it just hasn't happened with Will Levis so far. I almost feel like the way that he's playing is kind of pulling the offense back, and they're caused to go a little more conservative and to try to limit the mistakes.
What happened? Because last year there was a lot of good. And I mean, I know there are flashes now. Are Titans fans still excited about the possibility of Will Levis, or is this very much like, hey, we'll see how this year goes and then we'll try and figure it out moving forward?
Yeah, if you ask the general Titans fan, they'll tell you they're out on Will Levis, and it's just something where they're tired of the turnovers. I mean, every game that he's played in, even a game against the Dolphins where he only played 10 snaps, he had a turnover, you know, so that's something that fans are tired of. And I mean, I get it. It's something that he has to get together, and that's really where the main issue is, and it's not being offset. Like, sometimes you could say, okay, the turnovers, that's a cost of doing business, but it's not being offset by the big, wow, explosive plays that were happening last year.
Well, the turnovers are one thing, and then there's just the connection with his wide receivers. I mean, Calvin Ridley last week, all those targets and no catches, I think it was, whatever the stat is. It's just pretty insane to see the target-to-catch ratio of Calvin Ridley. What has happened as far as just connecting with his receivers, and specifically this player who they went out and got and paid a lot of money to in the offseason?
Yeah, 8 targets, 0 receptions. It was the first time that happened since 2015. When, believe it or not, Amari Cooper was with the Raiders, and that happened against the Broncos. So, you know, make that of what you want. But, you know, I think the main problem is Levis is it's like he's processing too much. It's like, you know, the old school internet where it would have that little hourglass and it would turn and it would say buffering. That's what's going on, you know, and he's behind on the throws. He's not throwing the guys open at all. And you see that a few times in routes to Calvin Ridley. And then he's diagnosing it so much. Like, he's locked in. That's where I'm going before the snap. And once the ball snapped, his eyes are there and it just stays there. And it makes it easier to defend.
Is there anything they do good on offense that, like, the Bills need to be concerned about? And I don't say that, like, tongue-in-cheek. It's, like, a legit – I know Tony Pollard has been a pleasant surprise, at least for, like, fantasy football owners. I know Tajay Spears has been pretty good, but he's also banged up. Like, what do they do well that teams have to worry about and defend?
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything, they run the ball solid. It's not, you know, a matter of them doing it well. They're good at it, so to speak. The offensive line is built for run blocking. I mean, J.C. Latham, the rookie, is outstanding there. And Dylan Raiden's the right guard. Like, they like to pull him, and he's had his moments where he's really, like, literally obliterated guys wanting to make the tackle. So I would say run the ball.
That being said, what is the effect of Tajay Spears' injury? It seems like here that he's not going to be available against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, he's kind of day to day. The effect is you're pulling out one of your explosive players, a guy that they like to get the football to in the passing game. And then, you know, when you go from Tony Pollard to Julius Chestnut, the reserve out of Sacred Heart University, it's a drop-off, you know, and it wasn't as much of a drop-off, if any, you know, going from Pollard to Spears. So you have that. And also Spears has been a kickoff returner too.
Yeah, and the Bills have really struggled with defending, like, screen passes and just anytime running backs are involved, not running the ball. So I feel like if the Titans are without him, that would be a massive blow. Besides the running backs, and then obviously we already asked you about Ridley, and then I know everybody in Buffalo is familiar with DeAndre Hopkins. Is there anybody else offensively that people should be keeping an eye on specifically this week in this matchup?
I mean, not as much. I mean, Tyler Boyd is a consistent pass catcher. They try to get him the ball, but I don't really think there's anybody to say, oh, wow, you know what? Watch out for him.
Well, let me ask you this way then. What's going on with Treylon Burks, a guy that a lot of us are familiar with from the pre-draft process a few years ago? It just seems like things just have not really worked for him there.
Yeah, it just really hasn't worked. And just a matter of the inconsistency. You know, he is a player that they've tried to get the football to. He has some drops. Other times, you know, he just wasn't able to get the ball. And I mean, he's more or less, in essence, just a decoy. Like, they use him a lot on deep clear-out routes, and sometimes he'll get a catch, but for the most part, it's almost like they shifted away from him.
You know, I know the offense has not been very good. I know they have not been very consistent, but I feel like it's the exact opposite for the other side of the ball, right? The defense has been a pleasant surprise. They've been really, really good. What has stood out about that side of the ball, and why have they been so good?
Yeah, Denard Wilson has those guys cooking, you know, and I think the main reason you look at that second level of the defense, you know, I was talking to Frank Bush, the linebackers coach, you know, you look at Ernest Jones the fourth and Kenneth Murray Jr., these are two players that sideline to sideline, like they're sick'em, like they're see ball, get ball guys, and they alone have made the defense look that much faster. So you do have them. They like to blitz those guys on the interior gaps. Now, you don't really want to see a guy like Murray in coverage. So, you know, if James Cook could work his way back, and even Ray Davis runs routes well too. So that could be an area where they could exploit. But I mean, Denard Wilson has just done a good job mixing up coverages, manufacturing pressures and those types of things. You got Tavondre Sweat. They call him Meatloaf at 6'5", 340. You know, he's on the interior with Jeffrey Simmons. So that's a good tandem as well. So I think it's just collectively, all across the board, they're getting good play. And watch out for the rookie. His name is Jarvis Brownlee Jr. He wears number 29. He's an outstanding corner and a young guy that, you know, is kind of along the lines of a young Legarius Sneed, that same aggressive type of approach. And he had a really good game last week.
Just a couple more minutes here with Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, covers the Tennessee Titans. Just before we recorded, just before you came in, The news came down about Jamal Adams. He has requested his release. It looks like the Titans, that's going to happen. What's gone wrong? And just kind of tell us a little bit about the backstory here with Jamal Adams and the Titans.
Yeah, well, you know, what I like to do throughout the week is always just check in with players. Like, I don't put the mic in their face or a camera or nothing. I say, hey, man, what's up, man? How's everything going? Yeah. And I did that with Adams last week. And it was almost like as if a dam was broken. Because he was like, man, listen, you know, I'm just waiting to be out of here. I want an opportunity. The main frustration for him was he played 17 snaps against the Packers in week three. Week four, Monday Night Football, he played one snap. And this was after playing two snaps against the Jets 2 weeks before. And he felt as if that wouldn't happen again, you know. So he didn't really be concerned with starting. He just wanted to get a chance to contribute. It wasn't happening, and it frustrated him because, you know, Denard Wilson is a guy that was a DB coach for the Jets when they drafted him in 2017, and that's why he came to the Titans, you know, and they just couldn't, for whatever reason, get on the same page. Adams was saying that he was healthy and able to practice. The team, he didn't practice, you know, so it's just two different sides to it that it just got to a point where they had to part ways.
What's going on with Sneed? I know he's on the injury report. Is that any level of concern, or is this kind of just been something that he's been dealing with? Like, is there a chance that he's unavailable, or is he good to go?
No, I think Sneed will be available, but the quad is something. He actually went down after, what was it? It was a 33-yard penalty, pass interference on Alec Pierce. You know, he went down after that, and he got up slowly, and you do have that. He gave up a touchdown to Michael Pittman, too. So he hasn't been the same shutdown guy that he was in Kansas City for the most part. But he has had some good outings. It's just I think he's going to play, but he's just not the same, like, speed, turn and run, and that type of guy that he was before right now with that quad.
Couple quick things before we let you go here, Teron. Just on the defensive side, Bills have struggled with some man-to-man coverage this year. Teams are playing them a little bit that way, and then they blitz them. They kind of speed up the process a little bit. They force Josh Allen to make a decision while those guys are trying to get open. What are we seeing schematically from the Titans as far as what they like to play in the back end and how the pass rush looks?
Yeah, I think what they do in the back end, you know, you get a lot of too high, which is something you're seeing across the board. The pass rush is all about manufactured pressure, you know, so they'll blitz their nickel, they'll blitz the linebackers, and it's trying to find ways to force turnovers. They're not good in that perspective, so they try to, like, attack the front side of the quarterback to make him see that pressure coming and get him to throw to that backside slant or that backside curl, and it lead to an interception. So that's what you see for the most part, but it's going to be different with Josh Allen.
Yeah, any talk in Tennessee right now? I know it's still very early in the week, like, about Amari Cooper, because, you know, the Bills make this trade, they add another player. Like, that's another weapon that now I'm sure the Titans kind of have to prepare for, even though it might be a little bit limited.
And what do you think about it, Teron?
Yeah, no, I like the move. Amari Cooper is one of the silky, smooth route runners in this league. He's still got it, even, you know, at 30-plus or wherever he is. The Titans, from what, you know, I've gathered, they're just preparing, like, as if he's going to play. They don't know. Some of the players, like, I asked about, and they smile, you know, and you could tell that they're looking forward to the challenge.
All right, Teron, thank you so much, man. Thanks for carving out a little time in your day. We'll see you up here this weekend. We're giving you great weather here in Buffalo this weekend. It's going to be, like, close to 70 degrees in late October.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? It's 70. It'd be 70 up there, 56 here.
Who there you go. See?
There you go.
We did it right for you.
Nobody can ever talk about how bad the weather in Buffalo is, I guess.
Teron, thank you so much. Thanks, always man. Great to catch up with you, and hope to see you this weekend, buddy.
All right, for sure, man. Much love, fellas.